From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There are more than 70,000 farms in Illinois, almost all of them owned and operated by families. It could be a difficult and temperamental line of work. There's uncertainty over things like weather and the price markets will pay for what you harvest. There's also the isolation of working in remote, rural areas. Add in a shortage of health care providers in those rural areas, and mental health providers especially, and a farmer who is struggling can find himself or herself in crisis. According to the National Rural Health Association, the suicide rate among farmers is 3.5 times higher than the general population. And of course, even one suicide exacts a terrible price on the rest of the family members left behind. It's with that in mind that SIU Health's Farm Family Resource Initiative is launching a new support group for adult farmers and farm family members who've lost loved ones. The group will meet this coming Tuesday, January 23rd, and the fourth Tuesday of each month after that. Rachel Brown is leading the group. She grew up on a farm in Mercer County, and after working in agriculture for a few years, turned to counseling. She joins us now. Rachel, welcome to The 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me today.
And listeners, as you can imagine, this is going to be a heavier conversation. So as a reminder, if you or someone you love are in distress or having thoughts of suicide, please call the National Lifeline at 988. That number again is 988. All right, Rachel, I mentioned just sort of in a cursory fashion some of the struggles and stressors that farmers and farm family members can face. What are some of the other issues that are out there?
Absolutely. You did a really great job covering so many of them. If we think about it, farmers face things like, their harvest being dependent on the weather all throughout the year. The weather and natural disasters can affect the type of harvest that we have in the fall. And harvesting the crops and being able to sell them is how many farmers make their money. Those natural disasters could also impact livestock farmers as well. And so weather and natural disasters is a big piece of that farming puzzle. And related to that, markets. So depending on what's happening with the markets and with trade agreements, that all plays into how much money farmers can make and their financial situation. And the financial situation is a big piece in the stress that farmers feel. If things are going well, then, that's one less piece of the puzzle, of the farming puzzle that they have to stress about. But when things start to, get a little tighter, it can really lead to a lot of stress for the farm family. So those are a few of the things other than what you talked about. That isolation piece is big. We see that a lot with farmers and their mental health. Working alone on a daily basis can become very isolating. And, many of us work with a team of people every day and we have that social connection. So it's a little bit different for us. And then one other piece that I think is really integral when it comes to farmers' health is the aspect of farms and farm businesses being oftentimes a multi-generation business. So you often have, maybe grandparents who are part of it, parents, the next generation, kids coming back to the farm, and you're working with family on a pretty regular basis. And, that can be a really wonderful thing. And it can also be a trying thing at times. And it can be difficult for farmers to separate business and family and to be able to enjoy their family during family time and not, be kind of going back to talking about business or talking about things that maybe they're having disagreements on. So that family and that multi-generation piece and just working with family can also be a challenge that can affect farmers' mental health.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point because you think, I'm sure everybody can relate to the idea of people have had work colleagues maybe that frustrated them, but imagine also having to see them at the breakfast, lunch, and dinner table every day as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay, this is a stereotype I'm going to throw out there, but it is also rooted in some experience I've got. I'm from city folk, but I do have some farmers in the family through marriage, and they are not the type of people who really, you'd want to sit down and say, talk about your feelings, right? Talk about, is there still sort of a stigma about talking about mental health in among people who work in farming?
I think that you call that out really well. That does tend to be something that we find in rural communities. The access hasn't always been there, and it just hasn't been part of the culture in rural places to talk about mental health and talk about our feelings. It's very much a, pull yourself up by the bootstraps type of culture, and we kind of have to make it through each day. And sitting down and talking about feelings isn't typically something that we like to spend a lot of time doing. We're trying to change that because it's so important. It's so important to maintain that good mental health and to feel like we live a balanced life. And that health is important for the future of the farm. And so that's kind of the message that we're starting to try to spread now. There's been a lot of work done in that space over the past, I'd say, maybe 5 years or so. The message that I think a lot of people have become united to try to spread to rural areas is that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to talk about if you're going through a challenging or a difficult time and to reach out to whoever that might be, whether it's a friend, family member, your primary care physician, a counselor, whoever can get you the help you need. So, American Farm Bureau Federation, Illinois Farm Bureau, Extension, University of Illinois Extension, there have been a lot of voices who've been at the forefront of that conversation over the past few years. And a lot of individuals out there too, who've been trying to spread that message and to help combat that stigma that you talked about of, we kind of have to keep to ourselves and keep it in. We don't want that to be the way that people feel. So I think, there's probably still that stigma out there. It's going to take a lot of work and time to hopefully eliminate that at some point in the future and help everyone everywhere feel comfortable asking for help when they need it.
How have I mentioned the sort of healthcare shortage we've talked about on this program, some of the closures of rural hospitals and healthcare providers. What about mental health in particular? You mentioned some of the programs that are out there, but how have you seen the resources available to farmers for mental health evolve over the past few years?
So there's definitely that shortage of mental health providers in particular in a lot of rural counties. There's a map. I'm trying to remember what website it's on, but there's a map somewhere that you can see like number of mental health providers compared to the population of each county throughout the state. And basically there are not enough mental health providers in most of the counties throughout the state to care for the population in those places. So I think that's been a trend for a long time. But what we've seen in the past couple of years in trying to get help to people who need it, even if maybe they don't have a counselor available right in the community that they live in, is, as technology has evolved and we've gotten to this place where we use virtual meetings a lot more, trying to get those resources to people in that manner. And there's definitely still the issue in some rural areas of internet connectivity and being able to utilize Zoom. But I think that's starting to get a little bit better too. And as that connectivity is more available throughout the state, I think we're going to see more people going to that Zoom option. So I know in particular, there's a couple of places that are helping people get connected with counselors. One is the Farm Family Resource Initiative. They offer up to 6 free sessions to farmers. So basically just kind of helping them get set up with a counselor, and then they would cover 6 of those sessions. So it would be free to the farmer or farm family. And then University of Illinois Extension has the same type of program. They're providing vouchers to farmers and farm families for a certain number of free counseling sessions. So in terms of getting, farmers and farm families connected, there are definitely a couple places out there who are really trying to help them get connected with counselors. And then it's just trying to find that person available either in their community or a nearby community to go to in person, or trying to utilize that Zoom option.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. We're talking about mental health struggles for farmers and their families and how people can cope when a loved one experiences thoughts of suicide or when they lose a loved one to suicide. We're talking about this with Rachel Brown, who's leading a new support group through SIU Health's Farm Family Resource Initiative for adult farmers and farm family members who have lost loved ones. Rachel, how do you know when someone's, you know, sort of healthy anxiety about the world, about this up and down business, as we've been talking about, is actually verging into something more dangerous? How do you know? What are the signs someone might be having thoughts of suicide?
Yeah, there are definitely some signs we can look for. I personally think the best way is just to ask that person how they're doing. We never really know until we ask. But in terms of some signs we can look for, one thing is maybe withdrawing, withdrawing from family and friends, from the social connections that they would typically be keeping up. Another thing would be letting things go around the house, the farm, their property. If they're typically someone who usually keeps their property pretty well kept and it starts to decline and there's, you know, that's visible, it's evident, that's something that might be a sign that they're in distress. Those two pieces are big ones, I think. And also just noticing that the person isn't acting like themselves. If you're around that person and they seem particularly quiet that day, or or maybe making some comments that seem off, that don't seem like themselves. I think that's a good time to check in and ask that person. I really believe that that's the best way to find out how they're doing and if there's something you can do to help.
Any suggestions on how to approach that conversation with, as we said earlier, somebody who, you know, may not be the type of person who sort of exudes, please ask me about my mental health?
Yeah. I would keep it simple and direct. And I would just say something like, hey, I've noticed you seem a little different today than usual. Are you doing okay? Or, how have things been lately? It's been a while and I just wanted to check in on you. I really care about you and want to make sure you're okay. Something like that, just to keep it concise and simple and basically just express that you care about that person and you notice they've been a little bit different and you want to know if there's anything that you could do to help or even just listen. Maybe they just need somebody to talk to. So I would, keep it simple, keep it concise and just ask, are you okay?
I mentioned the 988 Lifeline hotline number earlier. I mentioned it again. If somebody knows somebody experiencing suicidal ideation or if someone's maybe even having those thoughts themselves, what can they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Calling 988 is a wonderful resource to use. I would also mention the Farm Family Resource Initiative has started a hotline also, and it's kind of similar. You know, people who answer this hotline are also going to be trained professionals, but they also have that knowledge of agriculture and farming. And so that number is 1-833-FARM-SOS. Or if you dial it as numbers, 1-833-327-6767. And so that farm family hotline, like I said, very similar to 988. It's there for moments of needing to talk to someone. If someone is in distress and either they're just in a state of depression, kind of having some suicidal ideation, or if they feel, you know, actively suicidal at the moment, they can call that hotline and get the help that they need. Just by calling either of those hotlines, 988 or the farm one, does not mean that emergency personnel will immediately be dispatched to your location. But it is there as a resource. You can talk to a professional on the other end of the line and then, kind of take steps from there depending on what the situation is. So I would definitely recommend either of those resources to people who are in need.
Yeah. Can you say more about, we need to take a break in about 2 minutes here, but say more about that, because I think some people may be worried that it is almost like calling 911 and they're going to have all this unwanted attention and flashing lights out in front of the house and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a misconception. With the 988 number at the national level, they actually say that less than 1% of their calls end up with emergency personnel at that person's house or wherever they're located at. So the majority of the calls to that hotline are truly just the person calling in who's in distress, the trained professional on the other end helping talk them through that moment and where they're at, and then most likely helping provide them resources, you know, helping them find a counselor or something in the community, or basically connect them with the help that they need to ensure that they do get help when they end the phone call. But a very small portion of those calls actually end up with emergency personnel at the location.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Rachel Brown, who is a leader in the Suicide Bereavement Support Group, which is part of the Farm Family Resource Initiative through SIU Health. If you want to join our conversation today, we'll be talking about this for a few minutes on the other side of the break here. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us on the air today. Again, 800-222-9455. We will continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about mental health struggles that farmers and farm families can face, particularly when a loved one experiences thoughts of suicide or when they lose a loved one to suicide. We're talking about this with Rachel Brown, who is leading a new support group through SIU Health's Farm Family Resource Initiative. It's for adult farmers and farm family members who have lost loved ones. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today on the program. So, Rachel, this may seem obvious, but talk about the particularities of grief. All loss is terrible, but when somebody loses someone to suicide, you know, we call them survivors. Talk about what forms that grief can take.
So it is, it's a unique type of grief, and that's why we've separated it out. We actually have two support groups starting next week, and one is just a grief and loss support group for kind of any other type of grief or loss than suicide. The second one is the suicide bereavement support group for, like you said, survivors of people who have lost loved ones to suicide. And it's so unique. There's a lot of questions there typically that are different than those who lost someone in a different way. A lot of times there are those questions of why that will never be answered. You know, why the person decided to die by suicide, what could have been done to change things. And so those questions that are slightly different and come from a different context than other types of grief or loss, kind of just sit with people differently, and that can be tough for them to carry. And so we really want to provide a place with this support group specifically for people who are struggling with the loss of a loved one by suicide.
What are some of the benefits, in your view, of doing this as a group in the format of a support group as opposed to one-on-one counseling? Or, you know, maybe somebody might think out there, well, I'm just, you know, I'm a religious person, I'll go to church. What is the benefit of talking with other people through these feelings?
Mm-hmm. I think it's that sense of community. And that sense of community is so important for us as humans, to come to a place where there are other people there who can somewhat understand what we're going through. You know, it might not be the exact same situation. We may not feel the exact same way as someone else does about it, but to have other people there who have been through something similar and can to some extent understand how we're feeling is very important with that type of grief and loss. And so that sense of community, I think, is every bit as therapeutic as the curriculum that we follow, or, you know, me being there as a facilitator. Just those other people who can come together and form relationships and be there for each other is so very important.
You know, and we talked about the sort of the differences that suicide loss and survivorship can have from other forms of loss. What are some of those commonalities? You mentioned questions that people might have. You know, every situation is going to be different. Every individual has, every family has their own unique circumstances. But what are some of the commonalities that you see?
Some of those commonalities are, like you said, kind of the questions that we've talked about that person might have, the kind of moments of grief that come up at certain triggers, or, you know, around the time of the person's passing. There are various things, I think, that make it so unique and so helpful for people to be in that group format.
I mentioned in the introduction that you yourself worked in agriculture for a few years and then went into counseling. Can you talk about your own journey? What drew you to that, from that to that?
I grew up in a farm family in Mercer County, grew up on a family farm. My dad farms, and my mom is actually a counselor and has been for quite a bit of my life. But I was always really drawn to the agriculture side of things, and for quite a while didn't really, you know, have an interest in pursuing mental health. Just didn't think about it as an option. I went to the University of Illinois and majored in agriculture, got a degree in agriculture. And then I worked for Farm Credit Illinois, an ag company, for almost 5 years. And during that time, I was reading a lot about the suicide rate in the farming community and the mental health struggles. And it all made sense to me because I grew up on a farm, and I just felt this pull to do something, to be part of the group of people who are out there helping. And so I decided to go back to school and get a master's degree in counseling. And I worked on that for a few years, and eventually in this past year switched fully to focus on counseling. So that's been my journey. That's what I do now. I'm a counselor here in Springfield, Illinois. I offer sessions in person and also virtually, and I get to lead the two support groups through the Farm Family Resource Initiative. And it's just a really amazing feeling to get to combine these two passions, growing up on a farm and loving agriculture, and now being so passionate about mental health. It's just really wonderful to get to kind of serve a community in a way that I feel is really needed.
If someone is listening to this conversation today and wants to join one of these groups, either the specific one for suicide survivors, or you mentioned just another grief support group for other types of loss, how do they do that? Where do they go?
Yes, they can reach out to me at either my phone number, 217-718-6315, or my email address, rachelbrown.lpc24@gmail.com. Both of those are available on the Farm Family Resource Initiative website, on the flyer that we've been spreading around. And so, you know, they can contact me through either of those ways and get in touch to be registered for the support groups. And they do start next week. Even if folks are not able to make it next week, both of the support groups will occur monthly, and so they can always join us after that if they can't make it next week.
All right. I know we've given out a lot of numbers and information today. I will say we will put links to some of these resources on our website, 21stshow.org. And once again, 988 is the main number. If you are experiencing distress or having thoughts of suicide, you can call the National Lifeline at 988. Rachel Brown with the Farm Family Resource Initiative, thank you so much for doing the work you're doing and for talking about it with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me today.